Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Where's Huddle with me, Bram, no Marcus or Maxime today, but I am fired up to announce that way too long of an absence, finally returning my favorite guest in the huddle, Yahoo Sports College and NBA guru, the best draft insider who has spent season after season after season developing more background, relationships, and experience than anywhere, anyone, at any point in the sports media landscape, the host of the On the Clock podcast, a woman I've been trying to impress with random texts about hiking, and a basketball analyst who has publicly and forcefully said that the only cities that should be allowed to host an NBA All-Star game going forward are LA, Phoenix, Miami, Orlando, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Miss Kristen Peek. What's going on, KP?
I'm great. Also, Houston, I guess, is also allowed in that warm weather, from what Twitter told me after that tweet went viral. I'm great. By the way, your intros are always my favorite. And what I gathered from that intro was I literally have no life outside of basketball and being in the gym. So I appreciate you just very nicely putting a bow on that and making that clear.
You're taking the wrong thing away from it. The longer the intro, obviously the more accolades you have been able to acquire professionally. Yeah. Yours got so long.
Yes,
I got lost in it.
I'll take that.
I got lost in it, Christian. Literally, you may notice there are some pauses. If you look back, I will be mortified at the times I didn't hit this like out of the park. And it's because I got lost in the paragraph, and it's been so long since we've had you on. I haven't really been able to give you any shit about this All-Star Game tweet. And you know me well enough, KP. You had an opportunity to add a city there. You just said, okay, we can maybe add Houston. You're not going to add San Francisco, you bastard. They're coming here next year. You're not going to pacify us by at least saying the Bay Area?
Sure. The Bay Area. Great. Yes. clean up the downtown streets of San Francisco and I'll be right there. The fact that I was there for Super Bowl, I don't know how many years ago, and I had to take an Uber 0.4 miles away because our bosses didn't deem it safe for us to walk from the hotel to where Radio Row was, like, and throw a global pandemic in there and, you know, everything else that is going on. Like, I'm sure it's, you know, all rainbows and sunshine downtown San Fran. Yeah, sign me up.
You don't have to be sure. I'm sitting in downtown San Francisco right now. You'll notice no fentanyl around me. I'm not getting stabbed by anybody. I'm perfectly safe. There's absolutely no problems. What goes into the analysis? So I mean, we're going to talk about the draft. I have 1,000 draft questions for you. I got some Warrior stuff. I mean, we'll cover all of that. But I was watching you get dragged a little bit for this tweet, and I was kind of happy to see it. And I wanted to ask you these things. Yeah. So what goes in to a perfect NBA All-Star city? And for the record, this tweet that Kristen sent out, and here's what it read. The only cities allowed to host All-Star moving forward are Los Angeles, Phoenix, Miami, Orlando, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Who says no? Was accompanied with a video. And the video was taken right outside of the All-Star game in Indy, and it was snowing. It didn't look like the most inviting
freezing
place. Okay, so
it was freezing.
So there you go. So going forward, if they came to you, if Adam Silver is like, all right, what should we consider for All-Star games? What would you tell him?
A city where players actually want to go to and visit, for one. And second, I mean, I feel kind of vindicated because then they made this new rule after that All-Star And it was like, okay, moving forward, All Stars can only be hosted by, you know, cities with X amount of direct flights in that can accommodate X amount of hotels. And I'm like, did I do this? Was this me? Because I turned off my mentions after that thing reached like a million streams and the retweets and the hate, because I was like engaging for a few, like a few, you know, people that were upset. And one person, I even said, I was like, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I live in Salt Lake City, a small market where it snows. I don't even want to be at an All-Star weekend there. And then you have everyone from Utah, leave, get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. And so I was just like, I was like, all right, mentions off. And then, you know, I get phone calls from my mother or my family members, and they're like, wow, people are really being mean to you on Twitter. I'm like, just stop. Don't read it. But
do you care at all? I'll give you some context. I think it was the beginning of this year. I'm not sure. There was a little scuffle between Klay Thompson and Jaden McDaniels. And I took to Twitter and I literally took a clip off my television. It's like a 2-second video. I took off my television, said something along the lines of Jaden McDaniels is dirty as shit, and then caught 10 million views and like negative things. Who I am, each one of them bothered me. Like I didn't interact, but like I read each one, you know, like I like read a couple to my mom. Like I'm all, it did. It knocked me off center. I don't see you caring. I see you being lightly entertained by it and then like kind of moving on, you know? So did it bother you when you were getting dragged by however many people who read that shit? Does it resonate with you or can you just move right on?
No, I don't care. These people don't know me. I'm not losing sleep over it. I've said this multiple times. Like you can say whatever you want in my mentions. Like nothing bothers me. That's why I'm in this job. Like you can't be in this business and not have thick skin. So for me, I'm like, yeah, say whatever you want.
I'll warn you that I'm putting together a group. I don't know. It won't be that big. 10, 15 people. We will be there when you arrive in San Francisco for next year's All-Star game and just boo. I mean, as loud as we can.
I'll wear my Warriors huddle shirt so everyone knows, you know, who I'm affiliated with.
Don't you try to make this better. I'm going to print out like a giant board, like a golf check of your tweet. I'm just going to have it there. Just, you know, up and loudly, lustily booing. So get ready for that. We'll see how it plays.
Well, hopefully I won't be there because that would be a win-win for everyone.
You bastard. Let's talk about the draft. So I'm not breaking news. In fact, I'm just reading it. If you look anywhere, if you type in the word 2024 NBA draft, you will get somebody telling you it's weak, that it has nothing up top, that there's problems with it. I save all my opinions for after I've spoken to you. So I'm speaking to you now. How weak is this draft? What's your opinion?
It is weak. And it's not, I'm not saying that there aren't going to be dudes in this draft. There's always going to be someone that emerges. And it just, we just don't know what pick that's going to be, whether it's going to be one or two or 42 or 55. Like nobody knows. And so when the Atlanta Hawks won the number one pick in draft lottery for the first time in franchise history, It was completely opposite from last year where there was like a buzz in the room and it's like, oh my gosh, who's going to get Victor? You know, okay, if they don't get Victor, who's going to get Brandon or Scoot as a consolation prize? And there was this buzz. It was electric. This year it was like, please don't be us. Please don't be us. I mean, nobody wants to be the one to pull the plug and actually take Alex Starr number one, take Zachary Richichet number one or two, you know, or take a swing on another prospect that might end up hitting, but you are being told this entire year that Alex Starr is the safest draft prospect. And in terms of the hybrid center position, he's the closest thing to possibly hitting.
You are always years in advance. You told me about Wembanyama way before he was here. I mean, like you give me a sense of these things before they come up, and I use that to try to sound smart. How long has this draft been circled as maybe a little, you know, lighter than we would like it to be?
4 years. Okay. Soon as you start seeing the talent come up through the high school ranks, and then depending on reclassifications or, you know, different aspects than that, then that's when you start seeing trades or movements be made. And I remember I had a team ask me literally 4 years ago, if you were to rank in terms of the high school talent coming up, the draft classes between 2023, 24, 25, 26, how would you rank it?
Yep.
And next year's draft is awesome with Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey. The year after that, AJ DeBonsa, Cameron Boozer, amazing. Oh. The year before this, you know, Brandon, Scoot, obviously Victor was going to take the cake. And so, but with this year, it was like crickets.
Yeah.
You're right. Like DJ Wagner was a top five prospect in high school and he's not even in this draft. Like he's going back to school. Do you know what I mean? So there's just been, it's been all over the place. Every NBA team I talk to, they're like, our draft boards are everywhere. We're just trying to make sense of who we want to hone in on and, you know, try to get.
I know exactly what you mean. And I tried to quantify it. So here, a little cover our ass. All of this is just talking about potential. We're not from the future. We don't know, you know, where these players are going to land or what breakouts people have in their first year. But when you're looking at this stuff, it's all, you know, what's their ceiling? What's the potential level? And going backwards, from what I can tell, in each draft, there's a potential for like 2 to 3 all-stars. They might not actually get there. You know, who knows? But you can identify players whose ceiling is that high. I'll give you some examples because I went back 5 years. 2019, Zion, Ja, Garius Darlin. 20, Ant, LaMelo, Tyrese Halliburton. 21, Mobley, Franz, Cade Cunningham. 22, Paolo, Chet, Jalen Williams. 23, Victor, Brandon Miller, Amen Thompson. There's always people. We don't know what's going to happen, but there's all these people like, okay, they've got a real shot. How many of those people are in this draft? People you can see maybe could be an all-star at some point.
None. Yeah. One. There's Who's no, the there's no like main name. I mean, it's crazy because the French league is still going on, right? So we're able to see Tijan Salon and Richer continue to play. And Tijan Salon had a game, a monster game. And people are like, oh my gosh, he is the next one. And then Richer came and had 28 points his last game. People are like, oh, he's going to be way more than a role player. He's going to be amazing. So it's all of this up and down, and there's no consistency across the board, and nobody is really just like jumping out of their seat like, okay, yeah, that's our guy. You know, the only one that I'm really high on, I love Stephon Castle. I love him, and I love his upside as an NBA guard. His defensive versatility in terms of he could guard anybody in the backcourt at UConn as a freshman this year. Yep. And then in the tournament, he basically became him in the Final Four when Nate Oates and Alabama were like, hey, your shooting percentage sucked this year. If anybody's going to beat us, it's going to be you. And like, and Stephon was like, all right, here's 21 points. You know, MFers. I don't want to curse. My mom's probably going to listen.
I was going to say, you can swear on the show. And in fact, I forgot, Mrs. Peak, from here on out, no F-bombs for me. That's a promise. how often, I mean, approximate it for me. How often does a talent get into the league and then shock you? Somebody does, you know, somebody who you didn't see in college or didn't think that they were going to do this and then suddenly blossoms in a way that nobody foretold.
I think it happens every year. It's just, it's always pinpointing who that player is going to be. I don't think anybody this time last year thought Gigi Jackson was going to be all rookie second team and drop, what was it, 28 points on LeBron. Like nobody could predict that, especially if you were at his pro day, which I was, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this kid? Like, just figure it out, get it together, you know? So for Memphis to land him in the top 40s and he'd be a top five talent in this draft this year, I don't think anybody saw that coming a year ago.
You are testing my, I'm not going to drop any F-bombs because of your mom thing immediately. So yes, he did torch.
And
he
pods, did. And pods. Pods okay. Pods.
Yes, you know what? I didn't even think to get angry about that. I was angry that you didn't mention Gigi Jackson's like huge game against the Warriors. It wasn't just LeBron that he torched. He had like 1,000 against us at some point. I think that's why he ultimately got the designation. How about floor? All right, so ceiling, I understand. All-stars, not many. Just starters, you know, because the other thing I've heard about the draft is, and I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it, that this draft starts at like pick 8, that you're not going to get, you know, like a top 7 pick that you would normally get in other drafts. It's not that kind of talent, but you will get some starters, some people who will contribute. Do you agree with that? Like, are there some people whose names we'll know even if they're not in all-star games?
I do. I think so. And I don't know who it's going to be, you know. And that's the hard part. I tell teams all the time, it's like, yes, I'm a draft analyst and I cover it with the eyes and the you know, the mindset of like, if I was drafting for this team, this is who I would pick, or this is who I think the franchise would pick. But at the end of the day, the pressure is off me. I'm not making the pick. I have job security. Like, this is, I don't have to make the call in this draft. And this is by far the first year where I've just been like, yeah, good luck. I don't know who it is.
I have some bad news for you, because I'm about to make you the GM of the Atlanta Hawks. Great. You are right now. You are on the clock, Kristen Peek. You have to make the pick for Atlanta. Who do you take at number one?
I guess Alex Starr. I'm not like, yeah, but he's a 7'1" Frenchman, you know, originally from France, played in for Overtime Elite before he decided to go over and play for the Perth Wildcats in Australia. I went over to see him in November. He was really good against guys that are older and that have played in the league and are, you know, finishing their career. Living in Australia, not a bad gig, by the way. And he looked good in the combine. He looked comfortable in the pick and pop and the shooting drills. He tested very well. Media availability, you know, he's just this like even keel, very soft spoken player. And he said, playing at Overtime Elite, which is part, it's in Atlanta. They're like, yep. Do you know anyone for the Hawks? He said, No, I didn't really meet anyone. I just went there. But Atlanta is going to be making a lot of conversations because we don't know what they're going to do with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. So if they keep both of them, if both of them stay, then Sarr makes the perfect sense as kind of that, like I said, a hybrid center, like what we're seeing with Chet, with Wimby, you know, being able to do the pick and pop, being able to take players off the dribble. If he hits, he's going to be one of those type of players, but we don't know if he's going to hit or not.
I mean, this fits into what you were saying about Atlanta. I wasn't in the room. I know less about it than you do, but I would imagine any other year they get this first pick and it makes their plan a lot easier. Break it up. You know, the DeJounte Murray thing is not working. You know, you make some move with Trae and then you build around this number one guy. And because you have no idea, it doesn't feel like this number one guy is going to have that kind of pedigree. It doesn't dictate any moves. Who knows? You know, why blow it up if you don't know for sure this kid's going to come in and make a difference?
Like, I'm sure they're sitting there in the room and they're like, how are we sandwiched between a Victor Wembanyama and a Cooper Flagg draft with AJ DeBonta following Cooper? And we get the number one pick. And if you're Detroit, you're like, how have we had the worst record in the NBA the last 2 years? The highest chance to get a top pick. And we've fallen to fifth years.
I don't feel that bad for him, only because in doing that research, when I gave you all those names, you know, all the Zion, Ja, Darius Garland, and all those guys, I had to go back through the James Wiseman draft and realize just how badly we got screwed. So, like, you know, was what it was. Can't win them all. You called that one right. Random question. It has nothing to do with this draft, but it's actually something I've been wanting to run by you. So NIL, the college players are getting money now, you know, and fairly legitimate money. Do you think that'll have any impact on the G League? Like, we rewind the clock 5-6 years ago and collegiate players at least legally can't get any money. And if you had asked me then, the G League's going to explode. You know why? All these players, why the hell wouldn't you? You get experience, you get paid, and you've got a real easy runway into the NBA. Now, if I can get paid in college, it's still get a little bit of experience there and then make it into the NBA, that runway makes sense to me. So, like, will there be any impact on NIL and G League? Are you seeing any of that, or are they kind of different worlds and they can coexist?
I think with NIL, especially, you know, what we're going to see is we're going to see players that are fringe second round, late second round on that draft bubble of getting drafted and just being on a two-way contract. They're going to go back to school because there's more money to be made there than in the G League. So what that does is that makes the younger players that are entering the league better because they're older, they're have more physicality, right. They know the game better, and there's less of that, you know, window to have to teach a system and adjust to the pace and, you know, everything that comes with both the G League and the NBA in terms of rules and spacing. So it's going to make the game better. And is in terms of does it affect the G League at all? I don't think so, because there's always going to be 60 players, 58 players, whatever, sure, drafted every single year. no matter what the NIL, you know, stipulations are. And I mean, the G League's actually going to be better this year because we're going to be seeing a lot more Bronny James. So you're going to get fans that are going to want to come out and see Bronny James unless he's, you know, playing with his dad for a few games.
Give me some Bronny takes. All right. So I was going to save it till later, but of course I got to ask you about him. All right. So generalized take, I got specific questions, but what do you think as we sit here right now, what kind of a pro do you think Bronny James makes?
Before we get there, I want to talk because I said to my editors and the higher ups, I said, hey, are the big wigs happy with my combine coverage? Because I wrote a lot about Bronny. And they're like, yeah, very happy. And I said, great, because my mentions are in shambles. Like, you want to talk about the the tweet from All-Star Break. Me writing anything positive about Bronny is like, is nuclear. And I get it. Like, people love LeBron and they also love to hate on LeBron. And so when they see his son coming up and they just say, Nepo baby, let me say this. I've been covering Bronny for 6 years. Yep. I've seen him in high school, started in eighth grade, all through high school. His 1 year at USC needs to be a wash. Yep. People are forgetting, and I've said this before, he had heart surgery in August and was back on the court in December. He was a shell of himself. Nobody played good at USC. I don't want to hear about his 4.8 points and 2.8 assists. I don't care. What he showed at the combine was incredible in terms of his shooting. He made 12 in a row in the star drill, was second to Alex Caravan. During 5-on-5, the second day, he led his team in points with 13 points. He's an NBA player. He's going to get drafted based on his own merit. If the Lakers want him, they're now going to have to trade up to at least the start of the second round, maybe the first, if a team is willing to dangle that carrot out and say, all right, you want Bronny James, what are you going to give up for him, for LeBron?
Did he surprise you in the combine? I mean, after watching him in high school, after watching him all those years and seeing the ramp up, because he did surprise a lot of other people. And were you surprised?
I will say this, like, because I've basically over-scouted Bronny, the surprising moment for me, for him, was in between his junior and senior year at Nike Peach Jam, where I was seeing him read the PNR way better. Like, the defense was slipping, he was letting it fly. That was the switch that I saw. And then his 1 year at USC, you didn't see anything. So to see him come into the combine and be more of that player that I saw that one summer where I went up to him, I was like, oh my gosh, you are leaps and bounds better than you were last high school season. I'm so proud of you. Like, you're understanding the game, reading the defense. That was really encouraging.
The comp for him is Davion Mitchell, or at least that's the recent comp, because of size and he's saying all the right things. He's ready to play any role that you'd like him to play. Fair comparison? I mean, is he a defensive savant?
Yeah, he measured in without shoes 6'1.5", which in shoes, he's probably closer to 6'3", and he's got a 6'7.5" wingspan. So that's why we're seeing, you know, those comps with Davion Mitchell, because he got early minutes on the court because of what he can do defensively. And I think we're going to see more of that for Bronny. But the fact that he's not so much a point guard, you have teams questioning where they can put him in the rotation offensively, but he can knock down the threes. So I'm like, put him in as a shooting guard and hide him in the corner. Like, This isn't hard.
You hit my next question. Where can he contribute? If he found himself on an NBA roster next year, shooting, I mean, like, what? Where would he be ready and willing to help out immediately?
3-point shot, and then also we saw, you know, a little bit of his game being added in a floater. Like, he was connecting on floaters during the combine over some big players, you know, just kind of pulling up a little bit early. So all I know is that his dad is one of the best basketball players to ever play the game of basketball. He's very smart. When you are learning from a guy like that, whether he's your dad or not, you're going to be successful. So for me, it was more like him coming in and really rising to the occasion. And he's done this before. Like, when everyone was like, you're only a McDonald's All-American because of who your dad is. And he went and shot 5-for-8 from 3-point range. So he's proving that he belongs, despite of his last name. And I think he could have a very successful career in the NBA. Not as a star, as a role player.
As a player. And it's a perfect follow-up, because what's impressed me after the combine is essentially, it sounds like that's what he's been saying. these, you know, like, give me an opportunity. I don't want to be brought in because of my dad's last name. I want to be brought in because of my own first name and what I can contribute, you know, and I'm not trying to set the world on fire immediately. I just want an opportunity to show you what I can do and earn a role, which is exactly what I want to hear.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. I've been holding on to this. It's really the only thing I wanted to talk to you about, but I had to cover some of the other shit. This is a tweet from Christian Peake. Quote, "My favorite is when I go to a wedding and I meet a guy and tell him what I do for work. And he proceeds to mansplain not only basketball to me, but then follows up with, well, this is one of the best draft classes yet. I just can't and give up." Christian, what happened? Give us a story here.
First of all, my cousin gets married on the heels of a combine and during a live period, which I don't know if you guys know what a live period is, but for the recruiting side, it's when all of the coaches come out and they're able to see the players and you just see like a heightened sense of competitiveness during a live period, right? Yeah. So I'm like, oh God, I can't go to Indy. I'm going to miss freaking Bryce James versus Cameron and Caden Boozer. And like, I'm running through all the stuff that I'll be missing. And of course, checking it on my phone. So we're on this shuttle and this guy, I had two conversations with the same guy. And the guy first goes, he's like, yeah, well, the Mavs and da, 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 da. And my dad goes, oh, you should talk. My dad started it. Oh, you should talk to my daughter.
You guys are on the way to the wedding. Give me a little bit more detail here. I mean, yes. Like you're in your wedding, dress, you're on their way to the wedding. This is like the shuttle that goes to the actual
shuttle
site.
That goes to the wedding. Cause they decided to get married on this like property that was beautiful, but you can't get to. And so there was a shuttle.
I hate that. I hate the shuttles. I'm always the shuttle there. I'm fine with the shuttle back is a nightmare. It's never there when you want to leave the whole nine yards, but okay. I gotcha.
Correct.
So you are dressed for a wedding, checking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Having like a little roadie on the shuttle. Sure. And so my dad, cause he's a proud dad still, you know, I'm like damn near 4 years old and he still thinks I'm like 16, scoring 20 for the varsity team, right? And so he goes, oh, you're a Mavs fan? You should talk to my daughter. She's got Mark Cuban's number. And I'm like, So then the dude, he's just like, starts spitting out all of these stats on the Mavericks and, oh, do you know this player? Well, PJ Washington, he's been doing this. I'm sure you don't know much about him. And I'm like, oh, PJ Washington, who went to Kentucky, who also played at Finley Prep in Las Vegas and chose Kentucky over UNLV, Arizona, and North Carolina. His dad is his agent and his sister just graduated and played volleyball at UNLV. No, I don't know who PJ Washington is.
Are you thinking these things or saying those things? Did you hit him with
the... I did not say that, yeah. But I was very nicely. I was like, no, I know who PJ is. Yeah, but you don't really know him. And I'm like, so what do you do for work? I cover the NBA. I'm an NBA draft analyst. Now we're like getting off the shuttle and walking to the bar. And he's just like, oh yeah, I love the NBA draft. Yeah, me and my friend, we do mock drafts and draft boards all the time. I'm like, okay, someone pays me to do that. Great. And then he's like, well, this is like one of the best draft classes yet. And I'm like, no, it's not. He says, no, it is. It was, who's the white guy from Maine? And I said, no, Cooper Flagg is still in high school. He just graduated. He's going to go play at Duke. No, he's in this draft. And I'm like, I hate this guy so much. I said, no, Alex Starr is the number one pick. He's like, who's Alex Starr? I'm like, I can't.
I mean, so let's see. An instant analysis. If he's hit you up again off of the shuttle, you know, and he's trying to tell you that, like, I really like the draft, he's desperately trying to hit on you. I mean, like, there's no question. Like, that second level, that's what's going down. But then why not listen to you? Why try to, like, speak over you and tell you things that you would fucking definitely know? Like, I don't understand the guy's approach in any way. And I'm also a little surprised that you didn't say just casually, do you like Derek Lively? Because the fucking reason he's on your team is the advice that I gave to your fucking owner. Like, you may want to know that whole text thing is not only true, there's a reason why your favorite young center is playing for your team.
By the way, of all the players to bring up, why are you bringing up Pete? That's a great point, Bram. Why did he bring up PJ Washington when Derek Lively has been, like, the young star of this team? That is a excellent point. He's a fake fan. Fake fan.
If you could press a button, all right, so I'll keep this person. That would bother me. I wouldn't like it at all. You know, I'd hate when people are, like, pseudo condescending to me, but I would also be morbidly entertained by it. Like, I'd kind of like knowing that I know way more than you and then be able to tell people the story. So if I could press a button and stop people from doing that, stop, like, explaining shit that I know, I wouldn't. I'd want it to continue just so I could kind of be pissy about it and keep it going. For you, if you could press that button, you know, because we've had 1,000 versions of this. People just don't know your knowledge set, you know, and they go after it. If you could stop them from doing it, would you? Or do you kind of like the superiority, you know, like, fuck yourself. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I almost got through without an F-bomb and didn't. It's a fail. But so what would you do? Would you press a button or no?
Absolutely, I would. I don't have time for these guys. I was in an Uber car. I was in an Uber, and the guy driving was like, oh, you work in basketball? You know, back in the day, there was this group at Michigan. I don't know if you're old enough for this. There were five players, and they were called the Fab Five. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I just stopped him and I said, yeah, you know, one of those players, Juwan Howard, this is last year. Juwan Howard, he's the head coach now at Michigan. You know, his son Jet, he was just drafted number 13 to the Orlando Magic, and he's playing in the NBA. And he's like, huh, no, I didn't know that. I'm like, stop wasting my time.
I respect it. It would bother me, but I'd also pseudo like it. Was there a third interaction? Did you see that guy again?
No, absolutely not. I hope he went on Twitter and saw the tweet too, because that one, people are like, KP, you are clapping back this draft season. And I'm like, yeah, between that and like the dude that was like, oh, you're only writing this about Bronny to get close to LeBron. And I clapped back at that dude. And I was like, I have only ever said hi and bye to LeBron when he's a dad at an AAU event. Bronny is at the NBA draft combine. I am a draft analyst, and he spoke to the media for 20 minutes. That's it. Nobody is trying to do anything here except my job. So shut the fuck up. Sorry.
Can you, let's go. There we go. We got an F-bomb out of you. I have a problem. I have a million problems. One of the problems I have, if I'm in a public setting, and like I'm at a restaurant or a bar or something, and the table next to me is talking about basketball and what they're saying is wrong, I 100% want to participate. Like, it'll like burst out of me. I don't always, but like, it bothers me. I do. Like, I want to go over and be some kind of an authority. Do you ever do that side of it? Like, do you ever like stop in and just so you know, what you just said is wrong, and then walk away?
No, this absolutely happened in Chicago. Draft lottery night. I go to this restaurant right across the street, and these people were talking about, you know, the draft. They're like, oh, is Alex Starr's Australian, right? Yeah, he's Australian. I was like, no, he's French. He played in Australia for the Perth Wildcats. They're like, oh, you sound like you know your stuff. And I'm like, here we go. And so then they're like, well, let's see what you know. I'm going to pull up this mock draft. And then they're like, who do you have at number one? I was like, Alex Starr. They're like, so does this mock. Who do you have at number two? I was like, Zachary Richichet. Yeah, so does this mock.
Please
okay,
tell me number it was your
three.
Mock.
It was my mock.
Yeah, please tell me it was your mock. Did you point it out? Did you say that?
I was like, this is my, are you guys on Yahoo Sports? That's my mock draft. They're like, oh, I didn't see your name up there. I'm like, oh my gosh. So yes, I do insert myself into people's conversations.
If Sar had a time machine and found himself in last year's draft, where does it go?
6, 7.
If Brandon Pajemski had a time machine and found himself in this year's draft, where does it go?
Top 10. Him and Dalton connect, and they would be the sweethearts of the lottery.
Give me a quick preview. Next year, I know Cooper Flagg. How deep? I mean, let me ask it a better way. Compared to like Victor's draft, because I haven't watched a lot of Cooper Flagg. I've watched some, but just highlights. I haven't watched full games. Compared to like the hype leading into Wembanyama, is Cooper in the same stratosphere? I mean, like, yeah, how good do you view him?
No, he's great. But here's the thing, like, what's great about Cooper is we already know what he's going to be as an NBA player. Like, he's been consistent and has a long body of work. I mean, this is a player that teams were allowed to go see when he was 15 years old. And I had a scout I was sitting with. He's like, I've never scouted a player with a mouthful of braces before. This is new for me. Cause it was the first year that NBA scouts could get out to like the EYBL and the 15U events. So they have a very long, just track work of who Cooper Flagg is as a player.
Yep.
Is the hype going to be the same as Victor? No, but the year after with AJ DeBonta, 100% is. That kid is a budding superstar.
Whoa.
He's going to be a franchise changing player. But next year's draft with Cooper Flagg, then you got Ace Bailey, who's going to be playing at Rutgers along with Dylan Harper. So those two are two names to keep a track of. And then also there's another French player coming up. This, I call it the Wimby wave. So you got, you know, this year it's Alex, is Zachary, and is Tijon Salon in the lottery. Next year it's going to be this point guard, Nolan Traore, who we saw at Nike Hoop Summit, who all the players that played with him said he is the best point guard that I've ever played with, ever. So those are like the three, four names. I'm just like, please, can we get to next year, please?
I've learned to stop disagreeing with you. You told me Chet was a unicorn. I told you he would amount to nothing. Looks like I may have been wrong on that. You told me that Victor would be a game changer. I told you he might get hurt. Looks like I might be wrong on that as well. So, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything this time. What I will do, last two Warrior questions, and then I've got a wild scenario, a story I want to tell you to see how you'd handle. First, the Warrior questions, okay? So the Warriors gave up. They've got a pick in the draft. They're picking to 52nd in the second round. Had they not traded it, this was part of the GP2 trade, they would have the 14th pick. And so Portland is picking in their stead. What are they missing out on? I mean, we don't know, right? We got to see how it ultimately plays out. But in that range, at that 14 slot, is there a starter, or, you know, like what's the talent like in that range?
I mean, you tell me, Bram, there's some people out there that believe that Zach Edey is the 14th best prospect in this draft. So
will he be there?
That should, you know how I feel about this.
I do. I'll let you say it.
I would not take him. And with the 14th pick, I would maybe take him 26 to 35.
Yep.
That's the highest I'll go.
Okay.
But I don't think the Warriors are missing out on much. I think you're just gonna have to wait to see how the pecking order falls.
Yep. And see where it goes.
And who knows? Maybe the 52nd pick will be the Gigi Jackson next year.
So this is incredibly unfair, but more than anything, I just want to show you that I have watched your podcast. We're gonna do a section called Make the Pick.
Yeah.
And Make the Pick. It is your weekly game show. You normally end the show with it. Today, we're going to have a scandalous story to end ours. But I still want to put you in as a contestant, Christian. So you are making our 52nd pick. Mike Dunleavy isn't sure what to do. He knows your track record. He just wants a sense, because we're in the future. We don't have a board. We don't know where it goes. What names would you have Dunleavy watch out for? You know, who would be on the board for your Make the Pick?
First one, Bronny James, for sure. See what you can get out, what you can squeeze out of the Lakers. Second one, Enrique Freeman, who I don't think would be there, but he was incredible in the draft combine. The forward, kind of versatile forward out of Akron. I also really loved Alex Caraban as well, the shooter, 6'6", 6'7", wing. From UConn this year. He's still deciding if he's going to go back. Who else? I don't know. Maybe Trevin Brazil. He's like a 6'9 forward out of Arkansas who had maybe one of the best dunks I've ever seen two seasons ago. I'll send you the clip. You watch that one clip, you'll get excited about him.
Let's go. I think we both know I'm writing these names down and we'll be using them as my own answers. And if you could give me a clip that I could also share, that would be dynamite. If the Warriors got Bronny James at 52nd and they called you, should we trade him? You know, the Lakers are offering us something. We could get something here, or maybe we're interested in developing him. What would your advice be?
Trade him. Use him for what you can get that's already established that can fit into your system. Because I do think they are going to raise all hell trying to get Bronny in any way, sense, or form to get that moment of the first father-son duo mm-hmm. playing alongside each other in the NBA.
And keep LeBron in LA and yes. you know, have some more.
I know people are like, oh no, Bronny will go here. And I said, I don't expect anybody else to know this because the amount of time I've spent around the family, you would only know this, but they are a close-knit family. They're homebodies. Bryce still has one more year at Sierra Canyon. He'll want to be able to go and support his brother, which he did during his one year at USC. You know, they have an established home there in Brentwood. Like, nobody wants to uproot and leave unless they have to.
Makes perfect sense. Bike story. All right. Yeah. So I have been taking much longer bike rides recently. And I got this app, Strava, I think it's called, that lets you look up other rides you've never taken and then basically use like a GPS kind of program to give you turn-by-turn directions. And so I've been exploring new areas, Muir Woods, like that kind of stuff. And for my birthday a few weeks back, I took a ride. And I had never been in this area, so I got to use this app. And again, it's like GPS. And somewhere along the line, I get lost. I'm on the wrong trail. So I got to find a new trail, and I think I found it. I'm at like the trailhead, and I'm deciding, you know, is this it? Trying to figure out the app. And as I do, two people come up with a dog. They were late 60s, white guys. And one of them, as he comes up, says, hey, you may not want to go down this trail. The weather's hit it pretty hard. It's kind of eroded. In fact, there's a sign at the front that it's closed. So yeah, you may want to avoid it. And he walks, and for those two gentlemen, where we were standing was their rest point. They didn't keep going. They stopped there and were kind of looking out in the view. And so I don't know, 30, 40 seconds pass. I'm still looking at my phone. I think this might be the area. And I say, you know what, gentlemen, I'm going to try it. I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the heads up, but I'm just going to go for it to see what it's like. And I'm sure you'll see me in 2 or 3 minutes if it doesn't work. And the guy who told me that comes over, and Miss Peak, I apologize, comes over and says, you really are a fucking asshole, aren't you? Okay. And I'm like, huh? Yeah. And I realize now, when he had told me don't go down there, that he was worried about the trail, not about me. He thought that I was going to like destroy the trail with my bike, but I didn't understand it, you know? And so after he tells me you really are a fucking asshole, I look at him, make some kind of a weird face, and off he goes. He goes, even next year. I say something along the lines of, thanks for the information. You know, I appreciate it. And he just starts calling me names. I mean, just like 45 seconds uninterrupted, nasty takes at me. He then backs off and he's with his friend. I continue to check my phone and realize this path that he's telling me not to go down is not where I want to go. This is going to lead me in the wrong direction. So I have a decision, Christian. I can go down it, you know, as kind of an F you to them. I can listen to the guy, you know, and walk around. I can have some nasty interaction with him, and I've got to make the decision. Yeah. I am interested in what you would do. I've ran it by a friend. He told me, I don't care if that path went directly into the Pacific Ocean. I would have gone down it with both middle fingers up because that guy doesn't get to tell me what to do. So for you, that goes down. How do you handle it? What's your move?
I'm just shocked that it took that turn so quickly.
You and I both.
That's the shocking part. Gosh, what would I do? This is what I would do. I would go down that path and I would just like hang out, check out my phone for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, and then turn around and then pass them going the other way with like AirPods in or something. So if they decide to say anything,
you're not
can't hear them.
Yeah. And they see you though. They see that you've done it and that you're not listening and the whole nine.
Yeah.
I respect
and they're like, what do you care? You're never going to see them again.
It the entitlement bothered me so
That's much. Shocking. Especially on trails. I would say like the people on trails, I just hike. I don't mountain bike or anything, but they're like the nicest versions of themselves. Oh, you guys are going faster than us. You go ahead. You go ahead. Oh, how's your day? Oh, the weather is fantastic. But where is this going on where this guy is went from 0 to 100 quick?
This guy was used to having like a bully level of entitlement and never having any risk. Doing that, and they're like, I don't fight. Like, I'm not going to fight this dude. You know, like, that's not going down. But like, firing off a bunch of four-letter bombs towards a stranger that you've never met in the cuts like that, you're taking weird risks that, like, I don't know. It's really bothered me. It's been more than 2 weeks. I haven't moved on at all. I've had like 1,000 different conversations with him. You know, like, I should have said this or could have done that, or why didn't I handle it this way? I haven't landed on like, this is exactly as I wish I had done it. And yeah, it continues to bother. I did not go down the path. I thanked him, literally came by, thanked him for his kindness, told him I'm on the radio. Do you mind if I talk about this interaction on the radio? And then what you did, put in my AirPods and took off. But that wasn't satiating. Like I didn't, like I'd like to tell you, I closed the book on that and just enjoyed my ride. I did not. I spent the next 2.5 hours going back through it to like coming up with a million different things I should have said. So I'm just as crazy as the last time you saw me, and I have not matured in any way.
I mean, I love that you can't let this go for 2 weeks. And my first thing that I say to you was, what do you care? You're never going to see the guy again.
A million, who cares? 1,000,000%. Yeah. There's a theme here. The theme is that you're far healthier than I am, Christian. So, I mean, that's a good talent to have. I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. We missed you.
I know.
I'm sure people need way more Christian Peak in their life. If I'm right, where do they go?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Kristen Peak, or read all of my sensational draft coverage on this thrilling draft class on Yahoo Sports. No, but for like draft sickos, it's a good read.
It's a good read for anybody who likes basketball. I enjoy your work more than I can tell you. If you want to find us, we're going to be on wedding shuttles countrywide, just looking to mansplain basketball to random people who know far better than us. You can also find us on social media anywhere. Type in Warriors Huddle and up will pop. With that in mind, go Warriors! And hopefully, see you next week.
Good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.